Good morning. Our passage comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This letter to the Ephesians is called an epistle from prison. It's one of the letters that is attributed to Paul, written while he is in prison, probably in Rome. And he's trying to set some things straight. The first three chapters have a lot to do with what a Christian should believe, and the last three chapters have to do with the duties of a Christian and what Christians should do. But this third chapter is really a chapter of prayer. Verse 1 in the third chapter starts out that Paul says, starting out in chapter 3, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And then he digresses. He's starting a prayer that he actually picks back up in verse 14, which is what we were starting out with. So I'm just kind of giving a little background now. That all the way back to verse 1, Paul starts out the same as he does in verse 14. You know, verse 1 says, "For this cause," verse 14 says, "For this reason," he's beginning to start a prayer. And then he parenthetically says to the reader in verses 2 through 13 that he's called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And he explains why he's in that role and basically is giving credence to his prayer. So we pick back up with him starting to pray again in verse 14. And he says, "For this reason, this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This was very different than the posture that Jews would take when they would pray. They would stand straight up. They would have eyes wide open. But Paul is taking a posture of bowing his knees. It's a picture of somebody who is humbling themselves and interceding with great passion. Have you ever cared so much about something that you were praying for that you just naturally fell to your knees? This is what I picture Paul was describing. He's describing his heart for them and how desperately he wants them to grasp the things that he's saying. And he says further in verse 15, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Isn't that awesome to know that our loved ones who've passed on are part of the same family as we all are here on earth? You know, the fact that they've passed on, that they're now in heaven, does not mean that they aren't part of the same family. Paul says the whole family includes those in heaven and those on earth. And they're all named after the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're all children of God. And Paul is highlighting that there's a larger family, a family that includes heaven. You may have had a loved one that passed away even recently, like the last year. My father passed away in July, and his birthday was yesterday. And reminiscing about him and his life was something that our whole family did. And it does not feel like he's gone from us. It feels like we are connected to him. And Paul's saying we are, that we're family. Whether we're in heaven or on earth, we're still family. And then Paul goes on to pray in verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Paul uses this phrase a lot, the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We all have an inner man, inner person, that the Holy Spirit can strengthen us in. And that he may dwell in your hearts by faith. And now there's three things that I want to highlight starting now about how God dwells in our hearts. And it's by demonstrating to us his love. And three ways the love of God affects us. That we are affected by God's love as he brings to us the knowledge and revelation of his love in three major ways. And the first way is that you and I would be rooted and grounded in love. He's saying basically that we are rooted and grounded in love, but that we would be aware of it, and that we would even allow Christ to dwell even more deeply in us, in our hearts, by this faith. And this is telling us that the love of God is immovable. Have you ever noticed how things with deep roots, trees and plants, are grounded? They're stable. They cannot be uprooted. It reminds me of the parable that Jesus told of the man who built his house on the sand. And when the storm came, the house collapsed. But the man who built his house on the rock, his house was immovable. So we need to make sure that our faith is rooted and grounded in the knowledge of God's love for us and for others, and that we let that love be very real in us. And then a second way that he's asking for Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith is for us to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of God's love. As one theologian put it, God's breadth of love is so big that he can get his arms around everyone. Now, my daughters, when they were young, if they tried to hug me, they would try really hard to get their arms all the way around me, but they couldn't till they grew. They had to get older and their arms had to grow. But the arms of the Lord are broad enough to reach around all humanity, and all humanity at once. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the breadth of the Lord, of his arms, is beyond limits. And so is the length. He's saying that we would know the depth and the height of the Lord's arms. His arms can reach to the highest heaven, and his arms can reach to the lowest of low. He can save a sinking sinner, and he can help a sinner experience his grace all the way up to heaven. I love Isaiah 59, verse 1, that says, "The arm of the Lord is not too short to save." And Paul's saying, I want you to know about that. I want you to know the breadth of his arms and how they can come around any situation and any person with love. And the length and how he can save. His arm is not too short to save. And then in verse 19, the third thing is that we would understand God's love by knowing that the love of Christ passes knowledge. And as we know that, we might be filled with all the fullness of God. God's love is beyond comprehension. It will blow your mind. As Isaiah said in chapter 6, when he had a vision of the Lord, I'm undone. In other words, I'm speechless. I don't have words for what I'm seeing. You know, at Christmas time, on different radio shows, they have these moments where a friend will call in on behalf of another friend who's had a hardship or is down on their luck, so to speak. They have no money and they have a bunch of kids and maybe their husband's in the hospital and they're just hurting. And so the radio stations will go out and buy all kinds of gifts, and then they'll show up at the door and live on radio, they'll knock and the person will answer and they'll say, "We got a letter about your situation, we want to read it," and they'll read the letter, and pretty soon the person's crying. And they say, "We want to bless you. Can we give you a tree?" It's like, "Oh my goodness, I couldn't afford a tree," so they bring in a tree. And not only that, we have presents for each of your kids, and they bring in all these wonderful presents, and the person's crying. And not only that, we have a wardrobe for you, and they bring in a wardrobe. And not only that, we have a wardrobe for your husband, they bring in another wardrobe. And not only that, we've got your rent for next month. And not only that, we've got your rent for the next year. And it just becomes so overwhelming that the person just breaks down and cries. See, that's what I think Paul's trying to say is, God's at your door. And when you open it, he's got immeasurable gifts and graces that he wants to give you. He wants you to receive. And it's beyond comprehension. I love to read Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Every once in a while I get it out and read it, because it's Jesus standing at the door. He's saying, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will answer and let me in, I will come in and sup with him." See, Jesus is at the door, not only to give us gifts, but to actually win our trust, win our hearts, to let us have him come in and dwell within us. That God's love would be so real that we'd feel the very presence of God. The Shekinah glory of God is what they called it in the Old Testament when it was in the temple. But now in the New Testament, we're told that we are the temple. And the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory of God, now dwells in each of us. And what is that glory of God? What is that Spirit? It's the love of God. It's the immeasurable love of God. that has a breadth that has no limits, a length that has no limits, a depth and a height that has no limits. It's incomprehensible. It'll blow your mind. It will make you say, wow. That's what the love of God does. And this is what Paul's trying to get through to them as he prays this prayer. He prays this prayer for them. And I imagine as he prayed it, they were saying, wow. He was in prison and he wrote this for them. And so it was being read to them at some point, just like I read it to you. And Paul is writing this, I think, with the understanding that believers will be reading this down through the ages. This is an epistle that was written to all believers. That means you and to me. And this prayer is as personal to us as it was to the Ephesians. And Paul's saying, I want you to understand that this love, this incomprehensible love that has no limits and that will give to you everything you need to live a victorious life through God's Holy Spirit, who will dwell in you, will dwell in your heart, that this is for you and it's for you now. Because let me continue reading. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Paul is praying this prayer for us in this age, as well as for them in that age, because he's praying it for God's church from that point forward. And he's asking the Lord to bring glory in the church by Christ Jesus to the Lord throughout all ages. And in Christ, and only in Christ, do we have world without end. It's the world that is created by the reality of Christ Jesus and the reality of his love. This is a prayer that we should read often, because it makes us realize that God is able to do and will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Have you experienced that before? Have you experienced God giving you exceedingly above and abundantly above what you ask for? Just like those people when they open the door and get all those gifts. That's what God has in mind for you and for me. That's the kind of love God has, the kind that will blow our mind and will empower us to bring the good news of the gospel to a hurting world. God bless you in this coming week. May the Lord bring the reality of his love to our hearts. Amen.